Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the season for season's greetings. Greetings, one and all. God bless the sweethearts.
God bless the core.
This is so bad, Dan.
This
it really is.
So
like,
good.
It's just not even good.
Why do you think they flew it over Waco?
Oh, it's so bad.
It's great.
Not really.
It reminds Zoe of the basement.
Manessen, PA.
Basement. The wood paneling.
52 center drive.
Yeah.
Right,
Dan, what's your reaction to the news today on Josh Gordon and the Patriots?
I guess just like you guys. I mean, I know, Bealey, you were on this from the jump, and I think that, you know, it was always a low-risk move in terms of the football, what they gave up to get him. And I don't think that they built their team around him where it's like, oh, no, what are we going to do now? So you had, what was it, 11 weeks you had of him? And
what's that statement you use?
There were some
you
moments.
Stand by the river long enough.
Well, that's waiting for the other teams. But yeah, so it's unfortunate. Is Bill talking today? What's the deal?
He spoke yesterday.
Well,
so
I know
we're not going to hear from
so
him.
So there's
today.
Nothing today?
No.
And I mean,
we'll
I know
hear from him tomorrow morning.
I know he wouldn't go there. But I mean, and I think you were onto it where, you know, he got popped. And then I thought that was a little disingenuous, whatever word you want to use is, to have the statement about caring about his mental health, you know, like. Advancing the news that he got popped, and I think that's
his statement.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, it's just it's not genuine.
Yeah,
it's
I mean
not,
it's like
I'm not taking that at face.
Yeah,
value.
Where was that? It feels like an abuse of everyone's, you know, everyone's good hopes for him, and folks want to feel the best for him and hope the best for him.
Oh yeah, it's a great PR move.
Yeah, I thought that was cheesy to send that out and then find out that he's suspended. You know, this was not his decision; they made it for him. He got kicked out of the league and then decided he's going to go take care of his mental health.
Right.
But he got kicked out of the league first. So there you go.
All right. Let's go to some more of your calls. I know you've been hanging on. Tom is in Texas today. Tom?
Hey, good morning, guys. Merry Christmas.
Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, you know, I think you hit it right on the head there, you know, to say, it's mental health and not owning up to it as a man. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I've done 2 combat deployments. And to say, you know, for people that are legitimately dealing with mental health issues and to say, hey, by the way, I'm going to go work my mental health, whereas you're sitting there doing the wrong thing when you're getting paid millions of dollars to do so. But at the same time, I think that, you know, when you look at it from the bigger perspective, you know, Josh Gordon, we knew what we were getting when we signed him. Bill Belichick knew what he was doing when he got there. You know, and then it kind of makes you think about, all, you know, why aren't we paying some of those younger proven receivers like Brandon Cook, for instance? We could have paid him some money. He would have been sticking around and we would have had somebody that would have had 1,000 yards every year, and he's proved to do so. But that's kind of all I got going.
It's funny you mentioned.
We'll see. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's funny you mentioned Cook. Somebody called Beto, I think, what was that, Monday?
Monday, after I said I'd rather have Cooks than Josh Gordon.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm the big dummy, huh? Yeah, I don't think so.
Big dummy.
I'd much rather have Brandon Cooks.
And why is it always, well, they weren't going to pay Cooks? Why is that said? I mean,
well, they could have paid him for 1 year. They weren't going to pay him long term.
They weren't going to pay him long term.
They could have paid him
$8 million. Okay.
And that, they didn't want to give him the, they didn't want, the Bucks are flying here in Warrior. They were never going to give him the contract that the Rams gave him, and that's okay. I don't have an issue with that. But they wanted to get something back.
Yeah.
And they thought they could, you know, I guess they thought they could replace what he gave them last year. They never did. They didn't replace him with Josh Gordon. They didn't. And so I would have rather have kept him and paid him the $8.5 million.
And so do you think they got the news of this suspension, like, before the last play of the game in Pittsburgh?
not according to Ian Rappaport. I mean, Ian Rappaport said, hey, they knew it was coming. That's why Cordarrelle Patterson went into the game, even after Gordon paid 95% of the snaps.
Jason Cole reported this morning. He got the letter this morning. Yeah.
He was in the huddle. I thought somebody was in the huddle yesterday at practice with the ones. So all systems go yesterday.
So you don't think that he tested positive, knew that he was going to test positive, and then went to the team and told them? Because if he did, you know, maybe they would have.
I don't think they tell him. I think they tell the team first. I think that's a league thing. Okay.
No, but if he took a test knowing he was going to get caught, knowing whatever he had done.
Maybe he was doing stuff all along, didn't get caught, and all of a sudden you did.
Hey, maybe. Who knows, right?
I don't know.
Mark is in Franklin. Hi, Mark.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Happy holidays.
Great. Hey, how are you?
Just a question for you. You know, I hope Gordon gets the help that he needs, but I think the story's bigger than Gordon. Zoe, can you talk a little bit about the process for recruiting wide receivers at the college level?
Uh-huh.
It just seems like we're not getting it right. Is there certain conferences that we should be going to? You know, who's going from Gillette? Are there certain teams that we should emulate? I'll hang up and
Interesting. Mark, it's interesting you term it that way. Like, when you break it down to conference or which ones throw the ball more, I think we're at a different day and age now the way we were 10 years ago, where you had to go to a WAC conference or, you know, one of those Sun Belt where Texas Tech, and you're firing it 65, 70 times a game. Everybody's throwing it now. The problem is what is the system? What do they run? Is it man-beater routes? If they're all zone routes and all of a sudden you get in the league and you got corners that run 4-3, good cover corners, you're not going to beat anybody. The problem is you were going small school back in the day, and you would never invest the high draft pick in the guy. I mean, you have to go to where did the kid play? Ohio University?
Who's that?
The second rounder. What the hell is his name?
Taylor Price. Dobson.
Taylor Price and
Aaron
Dobson.
Aaron Dobson was a Marshall guy.
Marshall, Ohio University was Price.
Yeah.
Dion Branch was Louisville. He was a second rounder. Mitchell was a fourth rounder, but had knee issues out of Georgia, big school, SEC school. Played big in big games, but had knee issues. So there was always some little glitch involved with it to where it wasn't the Calvin Ridley type we're going to reach and go in the first round.
No, they don't believe in that. They don't believe in going up high.
Chad Jackson was a second rounder. Elmo was a quarterback drafted late, and they converted him. I mean, that's, you know, you found Danny Amendola. You know, once he's bounced from team to team to team, once Wes Walker's head turned to mush.
Right.
So, I mean, they really don't. They wait for the dust to clear, let that first grouping go, and I think it's then they go in. Where Pittsburgh just says, "Let's go recruit some speed."
Mark in Medford.
Some
Mark.
Lanky guys. Remember Martavius Bryant right there. God.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
He was good.
So is this yet another Bill Belichick screw up that he's going to avoid and not take responsibility for? And then when Dan Shaughnessy asked him the question at the press conference about Josh Gordon, he's going to say, oh, I don't know, you're going to have to ask Josh, we're on to the Buffalo Bills. Because quite frankly, I am sick and tired of this man not owning up and taking responsibility for his efforts.
What did he give up to get this guy?
His issue? No, but see, that's not the full picture, though. Yeah. The issue is not that he took a chance on Josh Gordon. The issue is that he didn't have anybody else.
You let it get to the point where you had to take a chance.
Yeah, it's not that he took a chance on Josh Gordon.
It's my point.
I don't blame Bill Belichick for taking a shot with a seventh rounder on Josh Gordon.
The issue should
be more. I do blame him for having nothing else to be in place or not something better that is in place already. So that if you lose Josh Gordon, it's not a big deal.
You're dependent on Kenny Britt, bro.
And Dan, I think it's less of a big deal than most people do think it is. Yeah, I don't think he made the impact on the team.
No, it's more of a news thing. I mean, he made impact when nobody covered Hogan last weekend on that first play of the game.
Well, they triple covered.
But they were all covering Gordon.
That's when he made impact.
Yeah.
That's impact.
Yeah.
But I do think this is more of a news story. It's going to be like a 24-hour news cycle, a lot of stuff. And then they get back to what's going to happen against the Bills and are they in trouble and that whole sort of thing. I think this is a little bit of a blip. But it speaks to a little bit of, that whole. You keep hearing about 2009.
Yeah.
Right? 2009. Not a team you could ever get to. A team you didn't like that much. You know, the whole situation.
Giardi was right on that, too, the other day. He goes, I covered that team, too. There were some a-holes on that team. There were some guys that separated themselves. He goes, you don't see that stuff here.
Mm-hmm. That was like a team full of malcontents.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
With guys at the top who were some of their better players who were jerks. I don't think they have that issue.
They don't have that
team.
Now.
They just need more talent. They don't have enough.
It's a talent.
They just don't have
enough.
Well,
it's the last time they played in the wild card weekend.
Yes. I mean,
again, there are some analogies that do hold up about just the football aspect of it.
Sure.
I'm not talking about the personalities in the locker room. I'm not there. I don't know. But this having this happen now at the end of the year, it contributes to that narrative a little bit. That's all.
Well, it doesn't contribute to your narrative that everything breaks the Patriots' way, Dan.
I thought that was masterful. Did you get
that? That took a hit.
Nobody really got
that. That still could happen.
No.
Well, I mean, but what do you mean no one really got it?
People didn't understand the tone of that. You need to go back and reread that aloud. You know.
You want me to go back and read it
with you today? I do.
Okay.
Well, Zoe's right that everything in there it can still happen.
Can still
Houston's going to lose to the Eagles, right?
Of course they are.
And then there you are. You vault into the two seed.
You're going to win out and get the two.
One out and get the two, and then all the things will start happening. You know,
Dan, you got anybody at the Globe I could talk to about maybe a discount? You know, it's getting a little pricey. They keep
cheap
upping
bastard,
my, they keep upping my rate.
Oh, your owner said...
They keep upping my rate. I'm going to go have to
tax deductible for you.
Talk to John
Your
Henry
owner, John Henry, said it's, very, it's a very
like $27 I got charged
last
month. All I do is digital. That seemed a little pricey.
No, he said it's a profitable gig now. The Globe
of course it is. They're gouging.
Yep,
they're gouging everybody.
To read Ben Volen every day? Are you kidding me?
Mittens.
Yeah.
Dan's getting a raise.
Yeah, you doing well?
I get nothing.
weren't you
a World Series share for me?
Weren't you developing? They're delivering papers like three Christmas.
I never got involved in that. We were in Miami. I think that happened.
What's
yeah,
the,
I was not. No, I was not.
Dan, the delivery boy.
I did do that in the old days, but.
Okay.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Celebrate my baby back to me. I don't need a lot of presents to make my Christmas bright. I just need my baby's arms wound around me tight. Oh, Santa, yeah, my bleed.
Sean Grandy scheduled to join us at the moment, but we're getting his voicemail, so we'll keep trying him. Big story in The Athletic on Sean Grandy. Headline.
On what?
Sean Grandy never expected to become a Celtics icon.
Oh.
Now it's hard to see the franchise without him. And very, very lengthy story by Jay King. I've just sort of skimmed it. Talks about Grandy's life. Life of Grandy. You find that funny, Dan, don't you?
Yeah, I wasn't aware he had iconic status.
You say Celtic icon, I would think Tommy, and that's it. I mean, maybe Max.
Bill Russell. It's like.
No, but like Tommy's an icon.
It's kind of like that Seinfeld episode, you know, DiMaggio, Mantle, Costanza.
Quote from Grandy, I never thought I'd be spending my whole life here in Boston. And Jay King writes, yet here he is in year 18 as the Celtics radio voice. Grandy knows the legacy of the position. He understands that the only other man to hold the post for longer was the legendary Johnny Most.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He says, to this day, Grandy says, they still talk about Johnny.
Russell, Bird, Grandy.
I'd say, you know, the way the Celtics retire numbers, put a microphone up there on a banner for him.
There is. Johnny's mic is up there, I believe.
Is it?
I think it is.
On a banner? Or they just hang a mic over there?
On the halo
silver
up there?
Microphone. There was in the old garden. I think it's up there.
Oh.
Yeah, check it out. Johnny.
Have to look for that. 617-779-0985. Maybe we get Grandy. Maybe we don't.
So Johnny was not the king of preparation.
You know, toward
the
end. Me.
Yeah, when I came up, I mean. We were in, we were traveling. They were playing the Lakers. And Casey Jones, the coach of the team, was also not that big on preparation.
That's a problem.
As I recall. And they started talking about a player. Johnny introduced him. What are we going to do about Jamal Wilkes tonight? And he was not there anymore.
Wasn't even on the team.
And Casey started talking about him. I mean, neither one knew. Like,
oh, boy. And we mocked Stephen A. Smith on ESPN. Back then, the team broadcaster and the team's head coach didn't know who was on the other team.
Yeah, it was. But it was the beauty of Johnny because he could really call the game. You know, set himself on fire that time. It was a lot of good stuff. Yeah. Not like the monks either. It was like inadvertent pants.
Johnny Most, that is who Dan is talking about, but we have another Celtics broadcaster, Sean Grandy, on the line.
Iconic Sean Grandy.
Hi, Sean.
Please. You know what? Iconic. Somebody sent me
oh, it's an article
yesterday.
There, man. We're reading it.
Okay. Somebody sent me a text yesterday and said, hey, congratulations on being named an icon. And I'm like, I don't think you can get named an icon. I don't think it's like a Player of the Week award or something like that. I think that gets decided like long after you're dead, right?
Like Jesus.
You can, Very right. See, now it's going to be, oh, you know, you just compared Grandy to Jesus. That's how it works now.
No, like Tommy. Yeah. You're Tommy.
Hold on. Sean's right. When Johnny Most was still broadcasting, were people saying, oh, Johnny's an icon? No, they said it years later.
Yeah.
Right?
I completely agree with that. And it's funny because Johnny, I always am happy that Johnny, like, never made it really to the sports radio era because he was a different guy at the end. He did become a little bit of a caricature at the end, and you know how we exaggerate things now. Johnny was a great play-by-play guy, particularly, you know, in his early years. He was a Marty Glickman-trained, you know, elite NBA play-by-play guy. And people remember the crazy stuff at the end because that video, the one night they happened to shoot him with video, right?
It was the Lambeer night.
The Lambeer game, right? Yeah. So now he lives forever in that disgusting way they do things here because that happened to be the one night. But I hope people, you know, when I think of Johnny, I hope people realize that, you know, how great he was for so many years and not just, you know, the wild stuff at the end.
Yeah. Sean, what do you think of the broken hand last night for Aaron Bain? Sham Sharania had the report within an hour. Within an hour, he's reporting on what the injury was before the team could even announce it. But he claims about a month. Are you buying in on that?
Shams and Woj freak me out sometimes with that.
Yeah, isn't it ridiculous? Like
I think it was a couple of years ago we signed Vander Blue to a 10-day contract. And I think Woj literally had it. Like, I was sitting on the bus with Danny. And Woj had already reported it, and you know, I don't think it had been done yet. But you know, listen, this is troubling. I think we saw last night if all the injuries hit at the same position, you know, you're going to have a problem. The Celtics, you know, who had a disastrous, calamitous night rebounding last night without Baines and without Horford and without Morris. Remember, the Celtics have been the best rebounding team, not just the best offensive team, the best shooting team. In the last month, they've been the best rebounding team in the NBA, which is amazing. You take all those bigs away, suddenly you got a problem. You know, you got a big game with Joel Embiid coming up. You know, it's you know, the Bucks tomorrow night with Lopez and the really good rebounding team. So this is a significant problem, and as you guys know, the numbers with Baines, the more minutes he plays, quite simply, the last 2 years, the better the Celtics have been, the better the win-loss record, the better the defensive numbers.
Yeah, sorry, Gizzo, go ahead.
And the Horford defenders would always say, okay, you take Horford for granted when he's out there because he does all the little things, and you know, he's a consummate pro. So now you get a guy away from the game for as long as this. Now you company with the Baines part you're talking about. And Brad's been on with us for two straight weeks now, and he was very descriptive to make sure he got what was ailing the knee right and the amount of rest he's going to need. At what point do you start to worry about Horford, you know, missing games? Because then you got to get up to game speed. You know what I'm saying? You got to get your game legs back.
No doubt. I think, you know,
look at Gordon Hayward, you know?
Exactly. Listen, you worry about it more right after you lose a home game to the Phoenix Suns.
To the Suns,
I think it feels worse today. Everything felt back on track a few days ago. And then I think the Saturday game, listen, there are sort of schedule losses in the NBA. And until last night, the Celtics had gone a month where in the only games they lost were these very sort of difficult back-to-back road games. And you say, okay, that's the way of it. Not that big a deal. But then you have a game like this. It brings you back as a fan. It brings you back mentally to a month ago when you had the bad losses to New York and Utah at home. And all of a sudden you wonder, now with really important games coming up against Milwaukee and Philadelphia, the problem is the Celtics have sort of spent their capital of bad losses earlier in the year, which didn't happen. They're all going to happen, but the Celtics have already had theirs. So now you're 4.5 games behind Toronto, and suddenly I think you do have concerns about that. But again, I think, Al, you're exactly right. You miss Al Moore when he's not there. You say, wait a minute, what's going on? Where's the glue? And with Baines and Horford both gone defensively, that's a real problem.
Yeah, so, I think Robert Williams shows that he's got some raw ability, but there needs to be some development and refining there before he can really be counted on. Yeah, I don't know what sense you got. I'm sure you talked to Brad Stevens pregame yesterday, but I think he sort of saw last night coming. The way he talked to us, he talked about how good he thought Phoenix was.
He was talking about pretty good before us.
He was, and he said, you know, their record maybe doesn't reflect what they are and that they've had some bumps along the way. And I also asked him about Al Horford's comments going back to last week when Al Horford sort of indicated that it was a good thing that the Celtics had gotten off to the rough start because the adversity they faced early was going to help them, and he felt it already was helping them. And then you had a stretch like this where you drop a couple and you sort of revert to what you just said, Sean.
Right.
They used up their bad losses already.
Yeah.
This is going to be a problem.
No doubt, and it's funny because, you know, last year the Celtics won so many more games than they should have won. And when you go on a winning streak like they did at the beginning of last year, you forget how they pulled games out dramatically. You forget about all the games they won that they shouldn't have won, and you just expect that those wins are going to happen again. And then this year, it's just one of these weird things that's starting to happen. The Knicks that week, that wasn't a fluke game. The Knicks had a great week, and they won all three of their games. I think they won in Memphis. They had a nice road win that week. They were playing really well that week. You had Detroit at the beginning of the year when they were 4-0. They were the last unbeaten team in the league. Phoenix is playing far and away their best basketball of the year. So you've run into teams like that, whereas last year you get places and, like, the best player was hurt and missed that game. But you forget about all that stuff. And the Celtics' luck certainly has changed. So that, in a big picture, it's not the, you know, the content of those games. For the most part, when the Celtics have been healthy, particularly in the last month, they've been fine. It's why I point, scoring margin is the best indicator, historically, of playoff success. And the Celtics have been one of the elite teams through their 30-game body of work. I think they're still, they may have dropped the fourth, but I don't think they did, even with the loss last night. So overall, when they're healthy, it feels like they're fine. But a game like last night, combined with injuries and huge expectations and Toronto starting to pull away, I get how it creates maybe a little more angst than there really should be.
Sean, what's going on with Jaylen Brown? I mean, is he healthy?
I think that Jaylen is a guy that the reality is all Max and I were talking about last night, because, you know, when you see guys who are performing not at the level that we have seen them perform before, and you know, Scoop, it is history in this league for young players to have great playoff success and then have a hangover for the next year or two. I'm not in any way comparing anybody on this roster to Magic Johnson, but Magic was the MVP of the finals, had a great playoff run in 1980. Kareem gets hurt. The next 2 years, Magic was almost a pariah. His teammates didn't want to play him. He got a coach fired. You forget about all that stuff when you just think it's going to come naturally to you. Jaylen is a guy that thinks the game a lot. And, you know, is he overthinking things? I don't know. But he clearly has not. You know, you look at last night, what you want to see no matter what is getting out of your head and effort. And when you see a guy as extraordinarily talented and athletic as Jaylen Brown is, and you see one rebound in 20-something minutes, that tells you, all right, something isn't right with him.
Yeah, he was like on the floor. He wasn't even there. He had 3 for 9 from the floor. Like you said, one rebound, 24 minutes. It was just a complete no-show. And a game with, you know, the other team's not that good. He's getting to start. He's getting, you know, he's starting off with a big role in the thing. And does he have any issues playing when Hayward's on the floor? How are those two together?
I don't think there are issues as far as I don't like playing with that guy as much as do these parts fit. That was Brad's biggest challenge, right, at the start of the year, was figuring out which pieces fit. And that was why I think a 20-game rough start was somewhat predictable. I think what made it worse was that the worst part of the Celtics schedule, the toughest 20-game stretch, was the first 20 while you were trying to figure things out. I think now, just when you're starting to say, oh, you know what, Marcus Morris is playing really well with Gordon Hayward, and maybe Gordon coming off the bench has worked really well. Smart with Kyrie has worked really well as a starting backcourt. You're starting to piece that together, and then all of a sudden you get pieces taken away, and you that process of trying to figure out who fits with who stops, because suddenly you're in a situation where, all right, I have no choice. I have to play crazy small. I've got to play these two guys together, even if I don't want to, because my top three bigs are all out. So it kind of halts that process of figuring out who plays with who. I think we've seen some evidence that certain guys don't necessarily play well with others, but I don't think we've seen enough to know.
Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, iconic voice of the Celtics now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We're letting that go.
Preface with that.
Great story.
I'm just glad a home loss to Phoenix could, you know, give us a little Josh Gordon break. I mean, I think that's all we needed, right? It's like when you eat the same thing at the buffet, you want to take a little break and then kind of, you know, come back.
I'll give you some more break from that. So tomorrow, the Bucks coming in tomorrow, and I talked to Danny about this morning. Talked to Brad in the air about this last week. Where are you in the
Greek? You just sliding on.
Where are you in the Greek Freak? Because If there were a dispersal draft of the entire NBA,
he's good.
I would start with him. I would take him above Davis, you know, any of them, Leonard. He would be the guy just because he's 24
years old.
He'd
be your number one pick.
Absolutely. And where are you in this guy?
I think that if he's not the first pick, because you might be looking at Davis, I think when you consider the durability of Giannis, that he's looking like a guy that's going to play 80 games a year.
Yep.
You know, here's the greatest irony of all that, is that now this has become a three-point shooting league like it never has been before. Right. It's a critical element. Brooke Lopez, who didn't take a three his first 10 years, has made 75 of them already.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, 75 he has made. He is their starting center, a seven-footer who never wandered out there once. And Giannis, what's the one thing he can't do? He can't shoot. And so when we know what the history of the league is, that guys can get better shooting as their careers go on. This guy is a terrible three-point shooter, not a good mid-range shooter. If he ever makes the improvement that other players have as they get older in that area of the game, he might be the best player in the world for a lot of years.
All right, Sean, appreciate the time and insight as always. Catch
you
up again after the new
have
year.
Have a good holiday.
Happy holidays.
Hey, Sean.
Sean Granny, voice of the Celtics, with us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The cycle has sort of, you know, restarted again in terms of the problems that he's having. For Josh to deal with this now and take the step away, or is he going to get, is he going to get suspended? And I believe this time this would be a, you know, last chance type of thing. I don't know how far he is along with that. That third, fourth, fifth chance, is it banishment from the league? I don't know what it is, but all I know is he put it together for as long as he could. You know, I was a fan of his this year. I love comeback stories, to see him in those moments like that with Tom and see him in that organization, because I know what it's like in that organization and the support that he was getting from Tom and those players and everyone being happy. And the fan base of New England, they embraced Josh in terms of what he was trying to do for the team and for his life. So this is a disappointment. I was a fan of Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. I still am a fan for Josh Gordon, and I hope he gets his life right.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you
Josh Gordon facing what?
Good job, Jim.
Facing suspension from the NFL, has stepped away from the Patriots. 617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Thank you for trying to call on the Patriots tickets. We've got our winner. We've got another chance for you to win Patriots tickets to Sunday's game against the Bills coming up at 1:30.
I think you're getting a rowdy crowd on Sunday. We talked about this. You're getting you're getting one of two crowds. You're getting the preseason game number three type crowd where it's a lot of family members, people home for the holidays, or you're going to get, hey, I'm off the next 3 days. I'm getting freaking hammered on Sunday, and I'm going to make some noise. I think you're getting that crowd. And I think next week you're going to get the family crowd. I think you're getting two crowds. One you're going to face Sunday, and you're going to get a much more subdued crowd next week.
Here's what Dan Shaughnessy wrote. He wrote that we can all agree that the 2018 Patriots are not one of the stronger Bill Belichick, Tom Brady additions. Measured against their own heightened standards, these Pats do not compare with most of the Gillette teams that preceded them. They can't win on the road. The ever-handsome Brady has become a nervous Nelly in the pocket, and New England's run defense looks as if it was designed by Bobby Valentine. Headlines in the wake of Sunday's loss have been predictable. Tuesday's sampler includes Meet the Suddenly Ordinary Patriots from the Globe.
Yes.
How the Grinch Stole the Patriots' Invincibility from the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Patriots Look Ordinary, Vulnerable, USA Today. And you wrote, at times like this, it's important to try to remember the secret weapon of the Patriots' reign of the last 18 years. It's the time-tested Walt Coleman, Pete Carroll, Richard Berman factor. I'm talking about the horseshoe, the juju, the karma. I'm talking about the football gods that always shine on the House of Kraft. When all hope is lost, we need to remember that there's almost always a tuck rule, a goofy slant pass, or a patriot-loving federal judge just around the corner.
This guy could really write.
Is that you?
I thought that was gold.
The words just sing off the page, don't they?
That was written yesterday, and now Josh Gordon is gone today. You still buying on what you wrote, Dan?
A blip on the screen. Don't worry about that.
Just a blip on the radar. No worries.
Yeah. No, it's like we were saying. So the things that they, until proven otherwise, the things that they need to happen generally happen. And that will start on Sunday when they kick the Bills' ass and when the Eagles beat the Houston Texans. They vault into the two seed. There you go. Don't have to worry about playing.
What does it say about the rest of the league? If this is the way you, it's like, this is like doom.
I think we know what he says about the rest of the league.
The team ready
entire
to grab,
rest of the league
ready to
sucks.
Grab the number two seed.
But at some point, Dan.
This is an indictment on the league.
At
man.
Some point, you're going to have to, I think, dial back the whole, oh, of course they're going to win and right. everybody else sucks thing, because they just lost two in a row.
Are you
as resolute in your belief? Like right now, at this moment, after the Josh Gordon thing and everything else, even after what you saw at the end of the game last Sunday, that they're just going to win out these last two home games. Bills.
Yes. Ask anyone. The guy sitting next to me in the box, like even last week, I'm like, they're making plans. You know, as if the Patriots aren't going to win the game. Like, what are you guys doing here? Of course they were going to win the game. We don't make plans like that. You know, the night it was 28-3 when we were in Houston.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, we need you to start writing, you know, first editions. We got to get those. I'm like, no. I'm good. I'm like, you know, don't worry about this. It's all started 18 years ago when they lost the game. Woodson, he strip sacks Brady. Yeah. He fumbles.
Fumbles.
Was it Charles? Which guy was it?
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson. It's a fumble.
He fumbled.
The game's over. And, you know, I remember Michael Gee sitting next to me, you know, he says, oh, wait, not yet. and sure enough, some rule no one had ever heard of is
such
invoked.
Such a bad rule.
And then
such a bad rule.
Everything
stays,
changes.
Huh?
The team that won didn't win. And this leads up to the night in Glendale, Arizona. Okay, the Seahawks are on the 1 yard line. The game is over. And Pete Carroll's like, no, I don't think so. I'm gonna try this. You know, when the game's over. So through 18 years of this, my instinct is to just wait because something good will happen for them. Okay, that's all I'm saying. What do you think, Beetle? That was some gold you read there.
Yeah. I think that they've had some breaks over the years. Some things have gone their way.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest factor in the Patriots has always been that they're good.
I mean, no one here thinks they're going to lose to the Bills or the Jets, though, right?
No, I don't.
I mean, that, I think you need to withdraw from the playoffs.
But for the first time ever, I'm not going to be like stunned by it.
But it's not going to be pretty. I don't think the style points are there for them. That's the problem I think people have is they're not convincing wins. I think these are going to be two get-by wins. And they're going to win, you know, win out and be 11-5 and then say, all right, what help do we get? Let's see where we aim.
Right.
See where
because
we
aim. I think, and again, I will say this, that they're not a Super Bowl winning team. This is what I see. But I've said that before until the parade went by my house, you know, so I'm like reluctant to go that far with it. I don't think they can win a playoff game on the road. There is a chance they can get there without having to win a playoff game on the road. That's what would do it.
617-779-0985.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Bruins have wrapped up, for the most part. A few players still left out on the ice.
They're doing a nice 2-on-1 practice. We've already been watching this 2-on-1 drill. These hockey guys, the skill level that they have, it's unbelievable. I hear people and they say, you know, it's the hardest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball, 98 mile an hour baseball, which is probably true.
We're going
to
talk.
Put blades on it. Go do this in 107 mile an hour pucks.
This is the home of the Bruins. The Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Malakilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that they say.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior.
From the land.
Our producer at NBC Sports Boston, Josh Fowler, has graced us with his presence.
What?
And he comes bearing gifts.
I don't even know where to start.
It's a lot.
Well, they have the delicious grilled cheese sandwiches available for purchase here at the Warrior Ice.
One of the best grilled cheeses in all of Boston.
Right, really, but what we've wanted all along is some tomato soup to go with it. Josh has obviously heard us talk about this, so he brought over already preheated tomato soup, bacon-wrapped dates, which Dan immediately tried to co-opt as his own. Hey, look at those. Take a picture and call them Dan's dates. I'm like, no, they're Josh's. Bacon wrapped dates.
We got tomato cans and Dan's dates.
Yeah.
All in the same drop here.
And hand warmers.
Oh, I didn't even see those. Can I have a package?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, now there's instructions. You have to shake them up.
Yeah. You got to let some air on them.
Put them in your pocket there.
Yeah.
This is great, though.
Really is.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thanks. Great.
Excellent. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Zoe's going to grunt.
Nummy.
Scott is in Amesbury. Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning. Is it afternoon yet? Yeah, it might be.
On the verge.
happy holidays.
Yeah,
me too. So I just wanted to weigh in on the Gordon thing. And, you know, long story short, I had ADHD when I was 3 and put on medication. And back in the 70s, I'm 58. Back in those days, they thought that kid would grow out of it and they'd take you off the medication. And this guy, Ed Hallowell, wrote a book in 89 called Driven to Distraction, and he basically said that no one ever grows out of it, and no one should ever come off medication. And 1 out of 10 kids became addicted to cocaine to self-medicate. I was 1 out of 10. So I had never picked up a drug I had a psychological problem before I ever picked up a drug. But the point I want to make is that, you know, it's a disease. It's a dis-ease, a lack of ease of yourself. And for whatever reason, Gordon, he's got the dual diagnosis like me. He's not able to be comfortable with himself. And when he can't cope, he runs to the drugs. And I can relate because I've done it. I've messed up my life. And, you know, I'm a salesperson and I've blown jobs and I'm good at what I do, but it doesn't matter. And I've had a lot of chances, like Zoe said. You know, a lot of people have given me chances, and I screwed people over, and I feel bad about it, and I had to make my amends. And
that's my point on this, is that the chances can't be endless, to be fair to the other 52 guys.
If you're the Patriots, would you give him another chance?
Ready
to answer on that?
No,
I would. No. I'd say yes.
No.
Yes,
no.
I'd give him another chance. No. If they can get him back in the league next year, right?
Oh, God.
Which I am willing to bet they are going to try and influence the decision-making on this process. What kind of drugs he was busted for this time is going to play a factor. If it was not something worse than, let's say, marijuana, I think they're going to have a decent case to the league to say, you know, let's cut this kid some slack. We thought we were making progress. We thought we had him in a good situation. They're going to make all of this case to the league. I think they will. And if they can get him back in the league for next year, I would take him back if I were the Patriots. I just wouldn't do it in the same way I did it this year.
What, you wouldn't I, do, I would, you wouldn't would do pre- it on a roster where you're going to need him and depend on him.
Yes, I would give him another chance. I don't have any anger for Josh Gordon over this.
No, there's no
anger. I have
anger
for the Patriots.
It's just that it's a dependability factor.
Josh
that's
Gordon
all.
Should – I don't think he should – you know, guys with substance abuse issues – I get the suspensions, but at what point is kicking them out of the league going to make it any better for them, right? You just have to prepare your roster as if you won't have him. But to have him around as an extra piece, I'd give him another shot.
And I know the league has rules, and you're in a position as a player to make crazy-type money that you can't make doing anything else. And there's got to be a point where it comes to, hey, I mean, we've done everything we can. And I think they have. And I think the Cleveland Browns did, according to Bert. And Bert said they had, you know, people following them around, living with them. It's New England, it's not that case here. It's not that deep. But, you know, they brought him out after every game. They allowed him three questions. They tried to incorporate him into the room. Brady spent a time. Like, what's Brady think of that app? I invested a lot of time and effort to help try and get him up to speed, to get him going. And that takes away from other things you got to do to get yourself and the rest of your guys ready.
Beetle, to your point, where is the evidence that the best place for him to get well is being an NFL player, is playing in the National Football League? Because, I mean, the rap sheet on this guy, the history, is every time he's in football, he goes off the rails.
It seems like
he should be in rehab or he should be in a place.
He's been to rehab. He's not been to rehab a half a dozen times.
He's not getting well being on football teams, is all I'm saying.
Well, I don't know how that's going to work once he's unemployed.
Yeah,
imagine that only gets worse if you're unemployed and sitting at home all day.
The problem is you see him come walking out of the locker room and he's coming down a tunnel and he's just got the pads on and he's just cut like a chisel and, you know, the mask. And you're like, Jesus, this is a wide receiver? Holy guy, I played in the league 10 years. I never had a wide receiver like that. Like, that's the tease. That's the tease to teams. Like, here's freak of nature,
you're
man.
Right. I mean, you're right, Dan.
That's why he's in the league.
I don't know that, Dan. I don't know that the NFL is the best place for him to get well, but I do know that it's got to be better than unemployment.
Mm.
It's got to be better than sitting at home. And that's how I look at it.
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of rehabs or what. It just feels like that trying to do his job and be on a team hasn't been his friend going through whatever he's going through.
Yeah, but I think you're making a connection that we don't necessarily know.
We don't know.
We have no idea if his job has anything to do with it. For most people, it doesn't.
Well,
Most people, it's completely independent of whatever their work is.
I'm sure there are people who work in the profession who would have an opinion on this.
Take it from the guy we just talked to. He was good at his job, liked his job. He was, you know... Job was not the issue. It was his own stuff that he was battling. I'd give him another chance, but I just don't think you could put yourself in a position where you absolutely need him for your team to be successful. Frank is in Salem. Hi, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Frank.
Staying on your point, there's no way I would let him back on the team next year. Number one, I just think the Pats owe it to the fans to put out the best possible team they can. There's a finite amount of roster spots, so they really can't take a guy in after last year after the guy leaving the team.
They took a guy in because they royally screwed up the position in the offseason.
At the tail end of a playoff run, Josh made a conscious decision to do the wrong thing, and he's got to pay the price. Just to get back quickly, my main point, this is kind of the Patriots' modus operandi in terms of taking flyers on guys like Moss, Phil Dorsett, Clark Killen, Dillon, going all the way back to Antoine Smith, Mingo, even going way back, maybe even Hernandez and Christian Peter.
Hainsworth, they gave Hainsworth a shot.
Hainsworth, Ocho Cinco.
Randy Moss. And they take a fire on these guys. If they don't work out, then they don't really lose a lot. And, and it's unfortunate. Thanks a lot.
Okay, all right. That's a horrible point that Frank just made. It doesn't add up. You can't name guys that helped you win. You can't say, Corey Dillon. Oh, Corey Dillon? The guy that helped you win a couple of Super Bowls? I'm sorry?
Rushed for 1,600 yards one season.
What are you talking about?
Oh, Clark Killen, Corey Dillon?
That list doesn't make sense.
Talk about it.
That list does not make sense. Oh, Randy Moss. And he was good for like 3 years, and then he, went south at the end. But
whatever happened to Coach Willie May?
Like, what?
Coach, Sarmid's a tradition.
Nice.
Yeah, it looks good.
He was,
what does that have to do with anything?
Corey Dillon, he had that big interview with him during the Celtic game. Willie went crazy. Chilling with Clark Killen, Corey Dillon. Talk about it.
Bring in the pain.
Bring it. Yeah.
All right, let's do the headlines.
No. They owe it to the fans to not have Obi Melifonwu on the roster. They owe it to the fans to keep him on the roster.
He wasn't active.
Oh, he wasn't?
Yeah.
How about Keon Crossan?
He was a scratch.
Keonta Davis? Hey, has he ever been active?
Duke Dawson, a second-round pick. He was inactive last week.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. Helplinema.org.